Welcome to Season 3 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Taylor Vollen, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Tie Down Breakdown. It's your host, Taylor Vollen. If you've been keeping an eye on the world of pro rodeo, as I'm sure you have, you know that some more Texas swing rodeos are coming to an end, with Rodeo Austin closing out the most recent one, Saturday, March 23rd. Today on the Tie Down Breakdown, we talk with the 2024 Rodeo Austin champ, Weston Hughes. Weston, as I'm sure most, if not all of you know, is a three-time NFR qualifier from Caldwell, Texas. He won Rodeo Austin with a 24.3 on three calves and pocketed $14,875 during his trip there, moving him from 27th in the world to 10th. Weston adds Rodeo Austin to his lengthy list of wins, which, just to name a few, includes the 2023 Fort Worth title and 2021 San Angelo title, as well as the 2016 Resist All Rookie of the Year title. I feel like Weston is definitely known for his hustle. He is so fast on the ground. But something some people might not know is that the 26-year-old has battled quite a few injuries over his career. On today's episode, Weston and I, of course, talk about his upbringing, his Rodeo Austin win, and injuries. Let's get started with the basics.
Okay.
Tell me what growing up looked like for you and how you got into calf roping.
Well, pretty much, you know, I started roping calves early on at 5 years old. Just wanted to get into rodeo, and my parents, you know, they really didn't want me to get into rough stock, so they pretty much just put a rope in my hand, and sounds crazy, but the rest is history from there. Just took off from there, and, you know, started going to all the junior rodeos, all the ropings as a kid, and after junior high rodeo, I just started mainly amateuring from then on out, and turned 18, bought my card, and started pro rodeoing.
You were kind of, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a product of a lot of those, like, junior calf ropings, weren't you? Like, the big ones, like the Rising Stars and stuff.
Yes, ma'am. Roy Cooper's roping, Joe Beaver's roping, Barry Burks. And, yeah, so pretty much we, you know, we never missed one from time I was a kid till, you know, the 16 to 19, we were pretty much all of them.
How important are those, do you feel like, in creating who you are now?
Well, what those ropings do, and I think you're seeing that with a lot of the kids today, they have so much to go to, and what that does is it just seasons them. You know, you back in a short round, and when you've dealt with that pressure since you were a kid, I think it definitely, you know, helps you when you're older, and you see kids nowadays are able to do stuff that, you know, they weren't doing 10 years ago, and the sport's just advanced, and I think a big part of that's all the ropings and competition that they have to go to.
Right. Did you have many, like, major influences when you were growing up?
Yes, I did. Justin Moss, Lana Mangold helped me a ton growing up.
Gotcha.
I was fortunate enough during the amateurs, I got to go with Fred Whitfield. He hauled me some rodeos. I got to rodeo with him. You know, that's an opportunity.
Yeah, that's awesome.
A lot of kids. Yeah, I had a lot of great influences growing up, and I was just super fortunate to have the help that I did.
This might be kind of hard just off the bat, but what do you think might have been one of the best pieces of advice they maybe gave you when you were going with them?
Well, you know, in the best piece of advice I got from all of them, and it's one that I never took, you know, put a whole lot of weight in until I got older, and that was, you know, you can't let rodeo get you down when it ain't going good, when it's not going good. You can't.
Right.
You can't hold on to the losses. You got to put them behind you and be ready to win the next day. And I felt like as a kid, you know, I won a whole lot. And so I didn't really deal with losing much until I got older and hit the pros. And, you know, the sooner I got that figured out, the easier it got for me.
When do you feel like, too, you realized, okay, this is what I want to do for a living? I know you said you've done it your entire life, but was there ever a moment where you're like, yeah, no, this is definitely my career path?
At 9 years old, became married to it, quit all sports. There was no plan. It was roping on five horses every day of the week. Wow. The only days we didn't rope on 5 or 6 horses is if we had a rodeo that day. Yeah. And if the rodeo didn't go good, don't put it past us not to go pin calves at 1 a.m. when we got home. Yeah. And rope on 4 horses till 5.
That's crazy. You
know, that,
yeah.
that's just how it was. You know, roping's all we did, and we roped to win. And that, you know, I feel like nowadays I rope more to make a living and mm-hmm. not to win first. And sometimes that holds me back because, you know, a lot of times I'll settle for 4th just to pay bills when I need to be roping for 1st. And that's something I'm trying to get more into, you know?
Yeah.
But when you're a kid, you know, you're not worried about money. You're just roping.
For sure.
But
that's interesting. The roping for a living, not for 1st. How do you think you can kind of switch out of that or not let yourself focus on it too much?
Well, in some ways it's helped me. Mm-hmm. In some ways it's held me back a lot. It's not necessarily what I've wanted to do. It's just kind of what I've situation, you know, I've yeah. been put in at the time. And over the course of rodeo, you know, it's hard. You can be winning a lot and still be struggling to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, a guy really, you can't rope with your checkbook in mind. You have to rope to, you know, a guy needs to be roping to hit the barrier and time as fast as he can. And, you know, I feel like at Austin this week, I stuck with that. And if I can hold that game plan throughout the rest of the season, mm-hmm. I think it'd be beneficial to me.
I want to kind of, not really switching gears, but talk about the early years of pro rodeo, because I think it's kind of interesting, and maybe this is just me geeking out, but you won Rookie of the Year in 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it ma'am. Wasn't until 4 years later that you made the finals, and not that that's really a crazy amount of time. It is a little bit of a gap. Kind of tell me what that looked like, those 4 years, I guess.
Well, the first 2 years rodeoing, I bought my card. I struggled to keep horses underneath me. I was pretty much my rookie year. I got slipped into the top 15 in August, and I was riding an old horse. He was 21 at the time, and he just went downhill on me, just got crippled and, you know, kind of fell out of the standings and then picked things back up. You know, 2017's going good. Kind of had some horse problems, but was patching it together. Mm-hmm. You know, was able to get some horses out there and ended up missing the finals that year. In 17, ended up 20th. And in 18, in March, I was sitting in the top 15. I broke my arm.
Oh my gosh.
And that kind of took me out of my rodeo season that year. And then in 2019, I was having a really good year. Same thing, I was sitting in the top 10 at Kennewick, and my back went out. I had mm-hmm. 2 ruptured discs. And so I went home in 2019, had back surgery. And then everything finally came together in 20 and made it that year. And made it in 21, had a hip surgery in 22, almost made it that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess 23, and now we're in 24.
I kind of want to talk a little bit more about injuries, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, you already kind of broke down when you had surgeries and what they were, but just what that looked like dealing with it, I guess.
Well, you know, my back injury had came from pretty much just overuse as a kid,
right.
You know, just flanking kind of before I was developed and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, I've dealt with my back even when I was 13 years old, as I can remember it, you know, really starting to give me troubles and.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And then finally in 2019, those discs ruptured and it pretty much just made me where I was totally immobile. They had to carry me out at Kennewick.
Wow.
And, you know, the hip deal, it was kind of a surprise because I'd felt the hip thing coming along when I was getting ready for the finals at 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the NFR that year, I guess, my hip tore from the labrum, or my labrum tore.
Gotcha.
And so then I was pretty much had to get surgery.
Wow.
After that, I tried to rope at Fort Worth and I couldn't even hardly run down the rope. And it was a deal. It was pretty much the way it was tore, time off, and nothing wasn't really an option at that point.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get that fixed. And which that year I didn't make the finals, but I had one of the best years I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I started rodeoing over the 4th and ended up finishing 18th in 3 months.
Yeah.
Rodeoing. And but you know, everything happens for a reason. It learned some stuff about rodeoing that year and trying to get to a lot of them, and you know, it was good. I was fortunate enough, probably one of the only years that I didn't make the finals, that I wasn't financially in the hole.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was good.
How do you kind of, and I'm sure it's a learn as you go type of deal, but how do you manage your mind when it's back to back like that, injury after injury?
Well, the easiest thing to do is to panic, especially yeah. once you've had the injuries before, because, you know, when you feel something hurting or coming on like that, you're like, oh man, you know, you don't really know what to expect from it. Mm-hmm. You don't know if it's going to be, you know, just like Houston a few weeks ago, I knew my back was messed up. And if it was a deal of I could have just sat for a few weeks and not did anything, mm-hmm. it probably would have turned out fine. But with all those rodeos going on, I was forced to go, and now it's just kind of prolonged it, you yeah. know. And it's when you back in there, you have to pretty much accept what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You have to tell yourself, hey, I am doing this. You know, you've accepted that something can happen after it that can damage it more than what it already is, or more long term. Mm-hmm. But if you've already committed to it, you got to go all in, and you got to put it behind you for those 8 seconds, and you know, accept it before you do it, and then deal with it after it's done. And I'm not saying that's always the right answer, but you know, it's sometimes what you got to do to get through a season.
Yeah. Did I hear that you're having to have another surgery this year?
Well, you know, it depends, kind of. I'm going to try to avoid it as much as I can, yeah. you know. But, you know, for me, being the disc are just herniated at this point, that's still a step back from where I had to have surgery last time, which is when gotcha. They were ruptured.
Okay.
So, in my mind, it's something I can kind of manage and mm-hmm. deal with. It's not going to be fun or probably easy or convenient, but I think it is manageable at this point. But I do need to get it taken care of, and I do need to give it some time so it doesn't give me major problems, you know, down yeah. the road in August this year.
Are there little things, and again, probably a silly question, but little things you can do for now that can maybe help, whether it be pain or preventative?
So what I've kind of started doing now that, you know, for the first couple of weeks, I couldn't hardly do anything, but now I've looked into this, this stuff. It's like water Pilates and water oh, cool. yoga, where I'm going to Austin and doing some one-on-one classes and with a lady, and she's helping me. And so what it's designed to do is basically take all the weight off your disc and allow you to hopefully pull those discs back in, which means there's no weight bearing on them since you're in the water. It should make it easier. So that's kind of what we're hoping for. Is yeah. to try that plan out and see how that goes, mm-hmm. you know.
You said something. I interviewed you after, was it round 9, I think so, at the finals? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Round 9, you said something that kind of stuck out, I feel like, and it was, when people ask why I try so hard, it's because I don't know when a run is my last. And I just feel like yep. you're 26, 27?
Yep.
It's crazy to think that you have to have that mindset, and I kind of, I mean, can you kind of tell me a little bit about that?
Well, it's one of them deals, you know, I love roping and I love rodeo, but at the same time, I've had enough scares with injuries, and I've had doctors tell me my situation to where, mm-hmm. you know, I've had enough scares. I've gotten where I don't take it for granted. Yeah. And, you know, it would definitely be a lifestyle change that would be different if I had to stop. So I figured, you know, while I do have the chance to do it, and while God is allowing me to do it, I need to try to make the most out of every chance I get.
Mm-hmm. You just won Austin. Tell me a little bit about that.
So the win at Austin, man, that was a much needed win. I think I was, before Austin, I wasn't even in the top 35.
Really?
I think after my money from the first round, it moved me to like 30th. And so coming into that night, you know, it was pretty much a deal of, all right, you finish up here, you're going to be in the top 10, and it's definitely going to make things a lot easier. Or, you know, you don't get it done right here, you're kind of, you're stuck right there in that, still that fighting zone of 30. And you know, the roping that night, it fell apart.
Yeah.
I think when I backed in the box, I had to be 13 seconds or something to take the lead in the average. And in that case, it makes it easy, but also it makes it hard because I didn't really have a calf I necessarily needed to lay off the barrier.
Gotcha.
And just go tire down. I had one that I needed to go at, because if I didn't go at that calf, my chances of missing were probably going to go up 40 or 50%. Shad Mayfield had that calf the night before, and mm-hmm. she was definitely stronger with him. He ran her to the back gate and she kicked. And so I told myself, well, just keep going at it like you've done the last two, and it worked out.
You ride in Zanna, right?
Yes, ma'am. Trained by Tim Farr.
Tell me a little bit about her.
Man, I'm gonna tell you what, that she is the most honest, most solid horse I've ever owned in my life. She does the same thing every single time, and anyone can get on her and win. She is, it don't matter if it's a 12-year-old kid going to the Junior Open or a backing in the box at the NFR, she works the exact same every time. And I think the main thing is she just scores so good, and she never cheats your throw. She gives you everything she's got every single run.
Do you have anything else going right now, or is she kind of...
Yes, I do. I have another really good horse I got from Murray Pohl in the fall of 22, and I rode him at the NFR the last two go-rounds, and he's really good. I'm kind of saving him for more of my summer run, just trying to give him some time off and just putting more of the runs on Xana right now.
Gotcha. What? So, Austin, where do we go next?
San Angelo the 6th.
What does kind of the rest of the year look like for you? I know it's a little up in the air, but if everything goes accordingly, what's the plan?
Well, plan is I'm going to try to go into the summer with low rodeo count. I've been to 10 rodeos so far, and I'm probably going to try to end up at Reno with either 20 or a little under.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to try to pick some of the rodeos I really like in between then and now, and just go to those and try to give my body a break.
Yeah. This is kind of off topic, but you brought up rodeo count, and it's probably going to feel super silly for you, but how do you map it all out? How do you have it down to kind of a science for your rodeo count? What's the key to it, I guess?
See, well, the real key to it, it's tough to say, but it's trial and error. A lot of it is finding out where you excel, and a big part of it is at the time is where your horse excels that you're riding at that time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, there's rodeos that I used to go to when I owned a certain horse, and I wouldn't miss them. I'd go to them 3 or 4 years in a row, and since I've got a different set of horses, you know, I haven't really been back to them since. Not saying they're not great rodeos,
mm-hmm.
but I'm pretty much just replacing rodeos that pay relatively around the same amount.
Gotcha.
That do fit the horses. And you know, and it's a deal too, when you see a lot of younger guys doing it, they go to a ton of rodeos in the winter, and you know, it's all fine and good because everyone just gets to go to 80, but if you think about it, during the winter you don't scatter out a whole lot. You're seeing everyone's going to those same rodeos,
mm-hmm.
so if a guy can kind of wait throughout later on in the summer, you know, when you can enter, you can spread out a little bit more. I just think the draw doesn't play as much of a role as it does right now, this time of the year.
Yeah. It's always cool kind of to hear how people break it down, but.
Well, and you know, everyone's different. That's kind of the way I look at it, but it, and I look at it a lot on an average. If there's a rodeo that I like better that might pay 4,000, I might skip one that pays 6,
mm-hmm.
just because I think my odds of winning that 4,000 are a lot better than placing at the other one.
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah. So what do kind of long-term goals look like for you?
Well, the ultimate goal is to win a gold buckle, and honestly, that's the only goal.
Yeah.
Pretty much every back number that comes is just a stepping stone trying to get to the gold buckle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, there's a lot of tough ropers out there nowadays, and I have a lot to work on, but, you know, I feel like if I keep working towards it and make some of these weaknesses I got my strong points, I feel like I could have a good chance.